When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're now listening to the Jillian Michaels Show.
Okay, guys, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's E-X-E-R-C-I-S-E. Audible content includes more than 180,000 audio programs from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. They have free apps for your iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone. You can listen on any device, any place, anytime, anywhere. And unlike a streaming or rental service, with Audible, you own your books forever. And check this out. They've got all these really cool features like annotated bookmarks, sleep mode so you can listen while you fall asleep and it will shut itself off when you want it to, narration speed control, 30-second rewind, button-free mode. Plus, there's an Audible's Great Listen Guarantee, and here's how it works. If you decide you don't like the book you chose, there are no worries. You can exchange any book you are not happy with for another title anytime, no questions asked. And guess what? They are giving away a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's audiblepodcast.com/EXERCISE. What are you waiting for? Go now and get your book today.
I hate this.
Rolling.
I can't plan.
Well, no, you can't plan. I'm going to be honest. Here's the thing. We just did a segment with my mom. It's 43 minutes long. It's its own freaking show. But I set it up. It was supposed to be a 3-segment. But now it's 43 minutes. So now I need an opener that's about 7 minutes. But I don't have an opener that's 7 minutes. So I said we're going to wing it. Anybody have anything to talk about? I could give you an anecdote. Nothing?
Tell you.
Andy's not here. So
well, this
can't...
is Jillian's show. They want to hear about you.
No.
Yeah. Go.
No, it's sometimes if you guys have something interesting to say, I can make fun of you. We can do that.
No, I've been made fun of enough.
Are you sure?
I'm not very vulnerable. I don't like being vulnerable.
But then you can just shut down while I make fun of you. Okay, that happens all the time.
No.
Nothing? No?
I don't mind being made fun of.
Do it.
All right.
You're used to it.
It's relentless.
That's why she's leaving.
I know. I know.
Just kidding.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a low blow.
Nice.
Yeah, that was dirty. Yeah.
So I asked if I could still come to the podcast.
And the answer is no. Cannot have your cake and eat it too.
I know where this place tapes.
Well, whatever. What do you got? Anything?
No, huh? I don't really have. So, well.
I can tell you a story.
Let's hear it.
All right. So here's what happened. Can we get Heidi on the phone? Yes.
Wait, I do have a good one.
Oh!
It's not a good one, but I just thought it was funny. And I was taking pictures of Jillian the other day.
Oh my God, that's right!
I just follow her around at the house and laugh at her. And I started, documenting these things.
I forgot about this.
For I'm too famous for this.
Oh my God. That's right.
And so I'm at the house. I'm clicking away. And I hear her. She's like, ugh. What do you need? What do you need? I needed a couple things from her. And I was like, I have a few minutes. She's like, okay, I'm going to clean the fish tank. So
Well, first of all, it's so filthy and horrible that we have a suckerfish that keeps dying. That my son has, it's in my son's room. He's named the suckerfish Phoenix. And and every time we get another suckerfish, they keep dying. We have two carnival goldfish. They're the only ones that are still alive. The damn suckerfish keeps dying. And I was like, this is just wrong, Heidi. We cannot buy another suckerfish. Right. So I was like, this is just cruel. We're going to be like on the PETA hit list. No more suckerfish. So my son's like, where's Phoenix? And I was like, he's in Miami visiting Uncle G. He's like, why? I'm like, because he wanted some sun. And Heidi's like, we need to get another suckerfish. I was like, you will not. I will not fish one more carcass out of the damn tank. No. And I'm like, you clean the tank. Well, let's make a long story short. We've had the damn tank for probably 6 months. Heidi's cleaned the tank one time. So anyway, the tank is like literally, you can't even see into it anymore because there's no suckerfish and the damn algae has grown so thick it's opaque. But anyway.
Yeah, so she just can't even stand it. She's like, I got to clean the fish tank. We're in the middle of, you know, I need to get some answers from her. I'm trying to record some ad spots and we're doing a fitting. We have a photo shoot coming up and I was like, fine. Because she's not going to be able to focus until this is done.
No.
So. She walks and she leaps. And a couple minutes later, I looked around. I was like, I've got to go see where we are with this. So I track her down in Phoenix's room. The tank is empty. There's pieces everywhere. It smells.
I was like, oh, my God.
And I come in there. And she's just like, has a little sponge. And is Mommy Dearest scrubbing the side of the thing like, looking inside outside misses a little spot, like gets the fingernail in there and is like,
oh, scratching, scratching.
Obsessing. So I'm like, it stinks, it smells like
dog, you're gonna shit. Have to believe.
She's like, it smells like dog shit.
Yeah.
And I go out. Well, in the that bedroom has like a little sliding door that goes to the outside, which is adjacent to the dog run.
Yep.
I come around the corner and I'm helpful. I'm just taking great assistant. She's not going to miss me. I'm just snapping pictures of this because I think it's funny. Sweatpants are falling off. She's got the sponge, this look. Oh, it smells.
I'm so pissed.
And I was like,
it's in pieces, by the way. The filter, the thing, the carbon,
the little
thing,
trees,
all the little fake crap. It's covered
like,
it.
I can't believe the this lid. Thing. It smells like dog shit. I'm like, I think that's actually the pile of dog shit right here around the corner. Our faces are leaning into next to the dog run. We're just like outside.
True.
Mucky fish water. God. Dog poo.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I was so pissed.
It was hot. It was like 90 degrees. Everyone's sweating.
Yes. But then we went. Then from there, so Autumn gets in and starts helping me clean the fish tank. So Autumn's now like,
now I feel bad.
Get the algae off. And Heidi calls from like her lovely day. And I'm like, you know what? I can't take your call right now because I'm busy cleaning fish crap off of your son's fish tank. Anyway, to make a long story short, after that, now Heidi has these flat beds, right? These garden beds. And she does something with like, she makes like a lasagna. It's called like a lasagna garden. Where is this woman? Get her on the phone.
She knows we're doing the show.
That's why she's not answering.
She doesn't answer the phone.
Hello?
Aha!
Oh, gee.
Aha!
Hello!
So first, we were having a conversation, honey, about how Autumn and I were cleaning the fish tank.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Because all the sucker fish are dead now, and it's become opaque with algae, and it took me 45 minutes to clean the fish tank. And then after that, I went to the garden because the pig was eating the rotting hay from Heidi's lasagna garden. What is that, honey?
A lasagna garden?
Uh-huh.
It's just hay, alfalfa, compost, blood meal, and bone meal.
Ugh. Right. So this is happening in the pig, we cannot keep her out of this rotting hay that Heidi has on the side of the garden. So Cody and I and Autumn are all lifting rotting bales of hay that black widows are falling out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Black widow spiders. We're risking life and limb, and we wonder why Autumn's quitting, by the way. I blame you. I blame you.
And I don't blame me.
I don't blame you either,
Heidi. Oh! And you know where Heidi is? We're at Glow Zone. Somewhere with the kids playing.
No, I wasn't at Glow Zone. I was at Underwood Farm.
With the kids. I'm at Underwood Farms feeding baby goats. I'm like, oh, I'm cleaning fish shit. And I'm risking life and limb, and you're rotting hay bale. Uh-huh.
Did you water the plants with that fish water? It's really good for them.
I love it. I love this. What I might do, honey, is
what
I might do is beat you when I. Who are you talking to?
Phoenix. He's beating the dog.
I'm talking, honey.
He just said, "Is that good?"
Tell him yes.
A little bit more, boy.
Honey.
Is that good?
Yes, that's good. That should be good.
Okay.
Maybe one more scoop.
Okay.
Put him on the phone.
So cute. Put him on the phone. We want
that's
to hear
good.
From him.
Put him
Mama,
on.
Mama wants to talk to you. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead and say hi.
Hi.
Hi, bud.
Hi.
What are you doing?
Feeding the dogs.
You're feeding the dogs?
Yeah, for you.
Baby, where is Phoenix the sucker fish? Do you remember? Thinking? Feet?
Still in there.
What'd he say, babe?
He doesn't know.
He's still in there.
He's not in there?
No, he's still in there.
Oh, he's still in there! In your dreams, my love?
He's hiding.
He's hiding. He's hiding. Yes, he is, sweetie. Yes, he is. In the plumbing of our downstairs toilet, I think, maybe. What do you think, my love?
Well, he's hiding, right? He's in there.
Yes. Hey, pumpkin.
Yeah.
Will you do me a big favor?
Yeah.
Can you go fart on mommy? Can you fart on her for me? Let me hear it. Good boy! That's my boy. I love you.
I love you.
Okay, buddy. I'll see you in a little bit. Uh-huh. Honey?
Bye.
Bye, little sneaky bottom.
Yes.
Honey?
Yes.
Want to tell everybody what you did last night?
What?
Do you want to tell everybody what you did to me last night?
Oh.
She almost got me killed.
It's a matter of bad timing.
Oh, my God. So listen to this.
So at 11 o'clock, yeah. Jill, I was sleeping, but Jill got up for a snack, I guess.
No, and I just got up to visit the kitchen, but I wasn't snacking.
You got up for a snack. I don't know what you ate, but you did snack.
No.
So anyway.
No, I didn't. I visited the kitchen.
For what reason?
To relax.
Okay, so she gets up for snacks a lot. So anyway.
Which is a lie.
She got up, and Duke was at our bedroom, and she shut the door, too. But it woke me up when she shut the door. And then Duke was at the door kind of like whining a little and just wanted out. So
Duke,
like, okay.
By the way, is our rescue giant dog that's half shepherd, half pit bull.
Okay, feed Duke and Richard. Sorry. So anyway, Duke.
I shut the door for a reason, mind you.
Over here. Okay, so anyway, so I let Duke out. All of a sudden, he goes. He just sees her outline.
Oh, no.
And tries to kill me.
Really, really loud. And starts to go after her. And then Stella, the pig, takes off faster. Sorry, he's pouncing to see the dog. That's good, buddy. That's good.
What's he doing?
He's counting so Duke can eat.
Oh, okay.
He counted to 21.
Oh, good.
Duke sees the outline but doesn't know it's her. Starts, like, barking and going after her. Then Stella
Mind you, we just had to put Duke in 2 months of rehab for going after strangers that come to the house, okay? So the dog is not going to be happy with seeing a random silhouette in the middle of the night, okay? Which is why I closed the door. But anyway, go on.
So Stella takes off faster than I've ever seen it, her run before.
Pigs can fly. Gosh.
And she can go up steps, too. She went up steps today.
Sails out the dog door.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that. I never thought a pig would be fast.
I mean,
oh, she is fast.
Oh, my God, dude.
But then she wouldn't come back in the house because she was too scared. So at like 11:30 at night, we're trying to coax her in with bananas and blueberries.
She's outside hyperventilating. Oh my gosh.
She would take a step and then turn her head side to side. And then take a step and then turn her head side to side. But she was on high alert.
It was terrible.
Poor baby.
It was terrible. But I go like this. I get up and I'm going to go visit my kitchen. I quietly shut the door. The next thing I know, I hear the door open and I'm like, oh no. No. And I'm like, how is it possible? How's he opened the door? The next thing I know, I walk around the corner and I see the dog, the outline of the dog, and this big beast of a dog freezes. And I see the hackles go up and the tail goes straight up.
I feel like someone took you out on your way out.
Oh my, so I'm like this. I'm like,
wait, Phoenix.
I look at Duke and he looks at me, but he can't see me because I'm backlit. And I'm like, oh, this dog's going to kill me. And he's like, it wakes up the whole house. And I'm like, Duke, it's me, buddy. It's me. And the pig is out the door. And she runs around, knocks me off my feet. I'm like, honey, did you open the door? The pig's outside. And I literally spent a half an hour trying to get her back in the house. And Heidi's laughing her ass off. And everybody's traumatized.
Aww.
Everybody. Everybody's traumatized. You know, why did you open the door?
Because Duke seems concerned, so I wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Right, honey? He's an attack dog. Of course he seemed concerned. I'm outside. Keep the door closed. No!
Let him go with you next time.
No!
Oh, good job, buddy.
Oh, my God. All right, I can't. We're going to go. We need to go. We only need 7 minutes.
Cameras in your house. This is going to be great.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Get that reality show on the run.
Well, I love you.
What time are you home? Peace out.
Soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I love you. Bye, guys.
Bye. Yeah, she almost killed me. The dog is a killer. He's a killer.
The pig seems to be a lot of trouble in your house.
It's not that, but I mean, she's a prey animal. When you have a freaking 80-pound pit bull shepherd barking at the top of his lungs, lunging from the bedroom into the kitchen, and she sleeps right under the stairs by the kitchen. Yeah, she was horrified. It was the kids were up crying. It was a whole thing. I couldn't get her back in. Everybody was traumatized. I was like, why did you open the door? He seemed anxious. I'm like, that's why you keep the door closed.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Wee, wee, wee. Well, I think that was 7 minutes. Was that enough, Jake?
15.
Perfect. There we go.
We all know what it feels like after an intense workout when you're really sore. It prevents you from wanting to work out the next day. It can cause injuries if you push yourself too hard. And that's why proper recovery is so critical. Recovery Max is a fast-absorbing post-workout formula that comes in both a cream and a spray. And it's designed to quickly relieve the pain of intense training to help you accelerate your recovery. It has 100% natural ingredients. Recovery Max increases your circulation. It reduces the lactic acid buildup. It helps to ease the pain for sore muscles, and it prevents muscle strains that could keep you from your next workout. Recovery Max is an Australian formulation that's proudly made in the USA, so you can feel great about that. And it's the only product with arnica, emu oil, and rosemary oil that gives you all natural, long-lasting relief. And it won't leave your skin feeling greasy. It doesn't make you smell like a medicine cabinet. Recovery Max is made for women just like you to help you accelerate recovery time and achieve your fitness goals. You can order Recovery Max post-workout cream or spray today from recoverymax.com or search the keyword Recovery Max on Amazon. Okay, everybody, check this out. For those of you who missed my live show, Maximize Your Life, we recorded it for you. And it's available to either purchase for $9.99 or to rent for $3 and stream on Vimeo.com. So if you didn't have the money, if we didn't come to a town near you, or if you just want to see the show again, it's available. Just go to Vimeo.com and search for Jillian Michaels, Maximize Your Life, and check it out. I really think you're going to love it.
Hello.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Jillian.
Hello.
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 Duck Hello, Dacty.
Who else is there?
Mish, Andy, Autumn stepped. Where the heck did Autumn go? And Jake.
Hello.
I don't know where.
Jake, I thought I heard a male voice there.
I don't know where. Hi. I don't know where Batum went. We'll have to get her back. Oh well. So, Mom. Hello, Doc.
Yeah.
My mom. We have two doctors. Our dog, Dr. Newberg, and my mom, Dr. McGarris.
Oh, wait, so Doc isn't with you. Newberg isn't with you, is he?
No, Dr. Newberg isn't with me. Mom, Dr. Okay. Newberg is a girl.
Who is Dr. Newberg?
I have told my mom that Dr. Newberg is a girl.
Oh, right.
Dr. Newberg.
I hate to say it, but he looks like a boy.
Mom, it's a girl dog.
He again. And Newberg doesn't sound like a girl's name.
Mom.
Musette is a girl's name.
Dr.
Leo is a girl's name. Dr. Newberg.
Seven is Dr. Newberg.
Uh-huh.
Doctor. Hello there, Doc. I told you guys how we got to Dr. Newberg, didn't I?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, well, our dog, Seven.
Yeah.
Ended up, it's a very long story, but Seven Up, Noopy turned into Newberg. And then one night I was watching TV and there was a guy named Dr. Newberg, and she became Dr. Newberg.
That's what we do with all our animals.
Dr. Newberg. Yeah.
You.
So that's her name. And the kids will call across the farm, Dr. Newberg! Oh, Doc! It's amazing.
And then eventually that will transform into something else until the name will end up being nothing like the animal's actual name.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Newberg is a girl. But anyway, so we have my mom on today because I had watched, maybe you guys have seen this. It's a huge TED Talk, and I believe her name is Brené Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done this massive talk on TED, and it's gotten millions of views about vulnerability and intimacy and how we despise vulnerability and vulnerability. And we've talked about this a lot, and vulnerability is courage and it's strength, and you can only know as much affluence as you can know vulnerability and as much intimacy as you can know vulnerability. And I was having this talk with my mom, and my mom was like, that's all great, but what we're missing is how hard it is to get from
the ability to be vulnerable.
Mm. She, and right. It's like, you can't just go, no, it's good to be vulnerable, and ta-da. And it's kind of like saying, I've had a lifetime of thinking I'm crap, but today I woke up and had a Stuart Handy talk in the mirror where I said, you know, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're funny, and I love you, and my whole self-worth changed.
Exactly, Jillian, that's a good way to put it. I forgot about that guy.
Jack Handy, or what was he? Jack Handy, was that his name?
Deep Thoughts.
The SNL, yeah, Deep Thoughts.
Yeah,
it's a,
right.
It's not deep an SNL Deep Thoughts skit, for goodness sake.
And the thing is, it's also, Jillian, we can't gain that ability by listening to somebody else. So what I want to say...
Oh, that's interesting. Explain what you mean by that. So, like, if I said to somebody, you know, vulnerability is not weakness, it's strength, and then I gave them all these different instances of how being vulnerable allowed them to have greater intimacy, greater professional affluence, etc., could they hear that, but they couldn't change from it, or could it catalyze a change, or explain what you mean?
Okay. Well, first of all, I listened to to Brené Brown's talk because I wanted to listen to it because you and I had talked about it. And everything she says in there, I think, is beautifully said and right on the money. However, it's not new. I mean, this is a dynamic that's part of the human condition. Basically, what she's talking about is there is a basic human need that we are all born with for connection, for attachment to other people.
Right.
And that is frequently thwarted because people are afraid to be vulnerable. And they're afraid to be vulnerable because there is shame. So that's kind of the theme of what she's saying. So what she's saying, I think, is beautifully said. There's a lot there. But what we can get from listening to Brené Brown or Jillian from, you know, what you suggested, the example you gave, we can become informed. We can become educated.
Okay.
We can listen and maybe have another perspective, but we're not going to change. You can't change by listening to another person.
Okay.
Like, Jillian, for instance, what you can do at the most, what the other person can do for you, and believe me, I'm not saying it's not meaningful to listen to other people. It is. That's what I'm doing right now.
Right.
It's hopefully informing and educating. But the most one can get from listening to me, Jillian, the most one can get from working with you as their trainer is they can get support. They can get informed, they can get educated, but the most is they can get inspired.
Okay, Got it.
But inspire inspiration to do the hard work. And this is what people miss. They think, oh, I just left this conference or this talk, or I just listened to the show or read this book, and it was wonderful. It's going to change my life. No. If it changes your life at that point, you are already 90% of the way there.
Right.
Oh, good point.
I've noticed that. The people that I have been able to affect quickly with healthier changes were just waiting for someone to give them permission. They were. Yes. They were just waiting for someone to validate them, give them permission, and then they were like, I'm already at the edge of this cliff. The wings are grown. I just haven't flapped them yet.
Exactly.
And Okay.
I have a question. Are we talking about vulnerability in what area of our life?
All.
No, wait.
Go ahead, Mom.
Okay. There is a time and a place to not be vulnerable, Jillian. If you're in danger of a physical attack.
Right.
You know, if somebody's following you on the street, I mean, we're talking about the vulnerability in unsafe conditions is not a good thing.
I mean this, Michelle.
Right.
Go ahead.
So first of all, we are talking about vulnerability in terms of a physical attack or in wartime or obviously conditions where it's not safe. We're talking about relational vulnerability because it's all about the need we all have to attach and connect. So it's in a relationship. And that's the kind, but even then, Jillian, and this is why often therapy is needed too, people have to learn who's safe. Because it's foolish to go out in the world and think, oh, I'm going to be vulnerable with everybody.
Right, right.
Good luck. There are
look at Autumn's face. Autumn was like this. She just literally was like, uh-huh, that's right. Of course. Well, wait a second, Mom. This is actually something that I didn't think about. I've always presumed that the presumption to me was always obvious that it was like, okay, you know, your significant other and they're doing something that is hurting your feelings and you have the ability to be vulnerable enough to say, you know, when I'm trying to lose weight and you order pizza, it hurts my feelings and I don't feel heard. Mm-hmm. And then it allows you to, you know, forge a deeper connection. However, at the same time, let's say you have a family member that is dysfunctional, jealous of you, always shoots down your ideas, and you say, I'm going on a diet, or I'm not going to eat that because I'm dieting, and they go, ugh, you're dieting again?
Why would you, there's a person, you're not vulnerable with that person, you set boundaries with that person.
Right, and that would be the opposite. So that is a good thing to clarify, Mom, you're right, and I've never actually realize that we should clarify when to be vulnerable and when to set boundaries. Yeah. So what would be it would seem very cut and dry when you know that someone doesn't for whatever reason, they might not be malicious, but they might be competitive with you, they might have issues of their own. When you know in your heart that they're not going to be able to keep your best interest in mind, then it is the time to set boundaries and safeguard. But conversely, when
they're toxic or destructive.
Right. Right. Yes. And then conversely, when it's somebody who loves you and you're having communication issues or a career move where I also see vulnerability as like taking a risk professionally. But again, it's action with information. It's not impulsive action, which would be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now you got it. But here's the problem, Jillian. So first of all, the ability to gain that vulnerability and to work through the shame. That, again, it's not a decision you make where I'm going to do this and you do it. It is a process that you have to go through. So it's not a decision. It's a process of hard work, and it's not a cognitive.
The decision would be the first step to begin the process.
Exactly.
Right.
And also, this isn't a cognitive process. It's an emotional one, and that's why people usually need to be in therapy. Because they need to be able to very gradually, first they need to be able to feel safe enough. They need to learn to trust you and to feel safe.
Right.
So that then it makes sense for them to gradually be vulnerable, because therapy is a vulnerable process, because you do have to dig into your shame and your fears and your insecurities.
Mom, can I ask you something, though? I know she talked about shame, and I get that, and she talked about how we all have shame and how shame inhibits our ability to become close because we're afraid of being vulnerable. But what if I'm also What if it's, is there other instances where it's not coming from shame? Like, for example, I've had moments with Heidi where I didn't want to tell her something hurt me because, and I don't think it's shame, but I thought it was ego and also fear right. of being left. Is that shame, though?
Okay, well, let's look at this for a minute. First, let's look at ego.
Okay.
Why would you need to, what's underneath your need to have your ego stroked if it's not shame?
Wow. Okay. Like one time she was, well, you know this because I called you. We were watching a show and she wasn't really engaging with me about it and she didn't like my opinion about something. And she was texting with an ex about the show and I was furious and I was so angry. And instead of coming at it from like, that really hurt my feelings, why were you talking? And it wasn't like she was cheating on me. They have a friendship. But it was like, I was so pissed. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. And I came from all anger and like, you're cut off. You're shut down. And Heidi was like, I can't believe you did. Why will you not talk to me? And I couldn't. And you had said to me, Mom, something like, you don't want to tell her how much this hurts you.
Right.
And I thought that was like ego, but that's shame.
Isn't it just hurt?
What do you even mean by ego, sweetie?
I wanted, I like felt pride. Like when it, pride.
Pride.
Yeah,
like I'm not
I don't
gonna,
need
I'm
you.
Not gonna, I'm not going to tell
care.
You that hurt
You're
me.
Dead to me dead. I can okay, cut so you out what, like that. I mean, like real
somebody,
dark.
Well, first of all.
Yeah, of course,
really
well, of course it's you. That's why we're like besties, because we're both a mess.
That's a really good example of impulsivity instead of reflecting.
Right.
Okay, so that's a really good example following what we just talked about.
Because that was so hard for me to be vulnerable
okay.
yeah. in that moment.
What is under pride? What's the flip side of pride?
Insecurity?
It's humiliation.
Oh, my God. That's right.
You were humiliated.
I was humiliated. I was humiliated. Oh, I felt humiliated. Absolutely felt humiliated.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I did. I felt humiliated. How could you be talking to that person and not talking to me? I was. That's right.
Yeah.
Ugh,
and especially
oh, God,
an
ex. Vomit.
I can understand that. Especially an ex. I get that. And probably Heidi doesn't like think of it as an ex, just a friend, and she's typing. And
Heidi
talking.
Is oblivious, let's yeah, face it. So yes, and in all fairness, I don't know, she might have been pissed at me at the same time. She might have been being passive aggressive with me about something. Mm. She swears to God up and down she wasn't. But we, you know, I thought she was. I was like, what are you really mad about? And she's like, nothing. This is you. This is all you. And it might be, it might not be, I don't know. But yeah, I definitely did feel humiliated, Mom. That's right.
You know what Tate said to me one time, and it really made me think about vulnerability. So I said something, and he goes, "Wow, that really hurt my feelings. Was it intended?"
Ooh.
As if to say he would own his feelings, but he still wanted to ask, like, "Did
yes,
you mean
great.
To do that?" And I went, "What a strong, vulnerable thing to say at the
absolutely.
Same time."
Oh my God!
And it disarmed me so bad.
That would floor me.
Oh.
Yeah.
It disarmed me so bad.
That's
and I
amazing.
Even found myself going, yeah, I did. Because why do you kind of you respect
your heart melts.
No, you respect the guy for going, that hurt. But you know what? You wanted that to happen, didn't you? And I was kind of like, whoa, an accusation and a disclosure in one sentence.
Andy,
I was like,
it sounds like you were able to be vulnerable with him and acknowledge that, yeah, I did. In other words, you probably weren't proud of the fact that you wanted to hurt him, but you took responsibility for it and you acknowledged it. So that's going to bring you closer.
Yeah, it did. You know,
you
I had an ass face, and so he called me on it. I was like, let's get close because I'm a jerk.
So then, Mom, though, because this is not obviously a strength of mine either. So the process begins emotionally with accepting that it needs to be made. And then
the process usually begins cognitively.
Right, where you go.
Words, you hear somebody, you're inspired or you're enlightened.
Got
which
it.
Is what I do, which is what you do, which is what Brene Brown does.
Okay.
And then you recognize, just like I hope Sally recognizes, okay, I need, this makes sense to me. Maybe this is why I'm feeling so isolated, so lonely, why my relationships aren't working. And then if a person can be inspired and enlightened to then take their own journey, because this is what gets left out of so many sort of self-help books or inspirational speakers is that listening to somebody else tell you about their journey is not going to change you.
Right.
Only you can change you. And, as I said, unless you're 90% of the way there, it's going to be a hard journey. Remember Brené Brown? It took her 6 years of just research because she was trying to hold on to control. And that's the opposite of vulnerability.
Right.
So
oh, my God.
Let me point out, what she said is she had, I'm looking at her talk, I think she said she had a small breakdown and she got into therapy.
Yes.
She had to do her own emotional work. And if people want and understand that in order to be close to people that you love and respect, that vulnerability is necessary, then they have to do this work, just like Brené Brown did. It's something you have to discover for yourself. Brené Brown discovered this insight for herself. She can tell it to somebody else, but truly, it will just be words.
Yeah.
They need to discover it in their gut.
And
they
Mom, it begins then with, okay, so we've got step one, we've got step two, but even still, I've been in therapy since I was five, and like the fact that you said control's the opposite of vulnerability, I'm the most controlling person I know.
I know.
I need to be in control of everything.
I know.
But that's because you've had bad experiences being vulnerable.
But also in that, you're very cognitive of it being in certain situations.
Not I feel your like best interest.
I feel like, would you agree with me, Mom,
true.
That Jillian is very always on the edge of awareness?
It's not safe to be vulnerable.
Wait, you're both talking at the same time.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, go.
Andy, what did you say? Go ahead,
I just feel like Jillian, though, the work that she's done, she's very cognitive of when she's in that area of being controlling.
Yes.
Like, you can say to her, you're being controlling.
Yes.
Like, when you're close enough to her to be able to say those things, she'll go, she'll reflect. You can tell she's willing to see it right away. She won't push, and then, you know, deny it. I feel like you can get through to her so quick, like a sponge.
Yes.
Her initial reaction might be a little controlling, but you can always, she'll absorb it right away.
Oh.
Like, you can, I just feel like you can talk her into seeing what you're experiencing with her. Yeah, conscious. Well said. Conscious. That was a lot of words to get to conscious. My bad. You're conscious.
But then,
and Jillian, I do believe you've made great strides. And the reason I believe you've made great strides is because of your relationship and your family.
Right, okay. But God, has it been a challenge.
But wait, Jillian, that's my whole point.
Yeah.
That's what life and meaning is about. You don't get the love and the goodies and the family and the warmth and the meaning without the hard work.
True. But I think you have to be so smart about who you're going to be vulnerable with.
Yes.
And in what setting, like in the professional world, I am closed up for so many reasons. It's just,
and that's safe. That's right.
But
those are boundaries.
Exactly. The thing is, and here's what I find with a lot of my patients, is that their histories are such that they truly don't know how to distinguish who's safe and who isn't. And of course, I explained that takes time and experience with somebody. It isn't something that you may know right away. But the fact of the matter is, they're so out of touch with feelings that they don't have any kind of gut reaction.
Wow.
So you see how you see how complicated this can get.
Yes. Yes. So,
right.
Okay, now let's say you've gotten to the point where you've differentiated who's safe and who isn't.
Right.
You've had the epiphany. You're in therapy. Are there, like, action steps?
No, it's not action steps. Here's what therapy is about. And, of course, as you know, there are many different kinds of therapies, Jillian, and not all therapists do the same thing, and yada, yada, yada. But in really good therapy, it's a relationship that develops. It's a professional relationship with boundaries, but that doesn't mean it's not a caring relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's why I believe people, if they can afford it and they have the time, need to be in therapy more than once a week, especially if they have these deep-seated issues. Because, first of all, there are degrees of the ability to be vulnerable. It's not black or white, right?
Yeah.
No, but, okay, so there are degrees. And if there is a serious inability to be vulnerable or to even recognize who's safe. So you're in therapy, just like you say, Joanne. You've gotten to that point. Now what has to happen? And this is where the hard work comes in. The insight is just the beginning. People don't understand that. It's just the beginning. Now we have to carefully, depending upon the person, gradually, slowly begin to unwrap the onion, begin to peel the onion. What happens when you're feeling that way? Or if the best way to explore this is in the relationship between the patient and myself. And that's called the transference, counter-transference. So let's say they're feeling afraid of being vulnerable with me. I can sense it. I may be able to say it. And then I might say something like, well, what is it right now? What scares you about sharing something with me that you're afraid to share? And that's a difficult, painful, vulnerable place for them to be. And maybe they won't be able to tell me for 10 sessions or 3 years. You know, it depends on the person. But that's the kind of work, because they're defended. Of course they're defended against it. If you've been, and Jillian, you know what Andy's talking about, you've been shut down by your father, sadly. So many times you've had your hand slammed in the door. Okay, now you know he's not safe to be vulnerable with.
Yeah. Right.
But when that has happened, over and over and over and over again, it forms a template, a psychic template, and we're not going to easily give that up. It's like being in a fire. You're not going to go enter anywhere near a fire. So it has to happen very slowly and gradually and safely. We're plumbing those defenses. We're finding out what's frightening them about being vulnerable. And then we get to the shame piece, because it is always there. And it can be fear, let's say they were physically abused or sexually abused. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, there's shame there for sure, but there's also just plain damn fear.
Right.
Okay? It's like PTSD.
Right.
So there are all different, you know, parts of this. So the thing is, when you get to the shame, then basically over a lot of time, and again, peeling back the layers, what you're hoping to come to is that the person starts to believe that they are lovable, that they are worthy, and that shame is universal, but that within they're lovable in spite of their imperfections, because we all have imperfections. We all have flaws and insecurities and fears, and that's just part of being human. It doesn't mean we're not lovable. And the irony is that so many people try to be perfect, to think that's the only way they'll be lovable. And, of course, that striving for perfection is going to take them to the opposite place of attachment and love and connection.
It's true.
It's the worst thing they could do for themselves. It is.
What, why are you laughing, Jill? Oh, my God. I'm just thinking about how that's exactly what I do.
Oh.
Even though I know that it's not about perfect and it is about progress, I somehow think it doesn't apply to me, though. I'm like, but here's the thing.
I do that, too. That's delightful, like, but I'm the exception.
I know. I'm like, listen. Everybody has this, that, the other, this. And then I'm like, why wasn't it number one on the list? Why was it number two?
So you see, Jillian, I can tell you this, and I've told you this before, and you know it, sweetie, but until you're ready, or if and when you ever are ready to do the hard work of this, and this means, Jillian, pain. This means into sadness and paying a price for
That's
it.
Michelle. Yeah. Michelle's saying that. But yeah, you are paying a price.
But you do
the price. Ready?
What? Okay.
Okay. So ready?
Yeah.
Years ago, had we been sitting on the couch, mind you, let's say we didn't have kids, and Heidi, whatever, and texting the ex, and I definitely would have been like, you know what? It was tit for tat. You hurt me. No, I'm going to hurt you the way you hurt me.
Right.
You made me feel small. I'm going to make you feel small.
Right.
That's you and your dad.
It's exactly me and my dad. That's exactly what we did. He would humiliate me, and then I would go and humiliate him back.
Right.
So now I was able to at least stop and be like, I'm
furious. Mm-hmm. You need to leave me alone. And she tried to talk to me, and I literally was like, I knocked myself out with a freaking sleeping pill. That's how afraid I was of my reaction. I was like, I'm going to become unconscious so that I don't, because if you keep trying to talk to me, I will, you don't want to, don't talk to me. So that's progress, at least for me. Then I was able to calm down. I talked to my mom, I talked to my shrink, and then we went to our couples counselor and we were able to get through it. But it was almost impossible for me to say that it hurt my feelings. Instead, I was like, you know what? I don't need you. Right. I don't need this. F you. You want to talk to someone else? Honey, go talk to somebody else and don't ever talk to me again. And that, it's like, that's how quick I can drop that. You know. And so what would I do? I would lose a person that truly loves me, a person that truly does care about me. And this is why these things have to be worked through, because I would end a relationship with someone that does love me, because I'm unable to simply say that really hurt my feelings.
Yes.
What was behind it?
Love, Julian, you would lose the ability to love her too.
Really?
Well, think about it. Then, if you end this relationship, it's not just about what she gives you. It's about you loving her. We need to love as much as we need to be loved.
So it's like it would have cut them both off.
Right.
Yes. Yes. And Julian, now think about something for a minute. The last thing you could say is, I'm sorry. Why? There's shame under that.
Right.
But
there's
Julian's in a safe...
under that.
But Julian in this situation is in a safe position because she has a partner that would say,
who
Let's
has
talk about
my
this.
Who's not looking
who has
to
your
hurt
back.
Me, right?
So she's safe in that position.
But Andy, here's
that's
problem.
Michelle. It's Michelle. Go on, Mom.
Sorry. Right.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Michelle. But here's the problem. Julian knows that. But what happens is, until she resolves, and she's not going to want to hear this, and not perfectly, because nobody resolves anything perfectly, but until she's able to resolve more, her feelings and dynamics, not with her father, but about her father, she's going to repeat this, because this isn't about Heidi. What happens is, we take our histories, they get embedded, and they're also, the memories are, and the emotional memories are in that part of our brain called the amygdala, where the tapes are running. And so in order to undo this, she's going to have to do the hard work of getting into the pain. And that's right. Here's the reality,
but
folks, that nobody wants to tell you. Obviously, she's progressing. But what I'm saying is, right here, where she's saying, I couldn't say, I'm sorry, or you hurt my feelings, whatever it was, that's because she was, in that moment, she was the child who was, and she was projecting onto Heidi that Heidi was her father. And in that moment, she could not say, you hurt my feelings, because she was feeling, it's not reality, but her feeling reality was that she's back in the situation with her father. And she will not ever, ever, never again allow him to humiliate her. Not once.
I get that. That's me. That's what I work through constantly, all the time, to not regress and to not confuse what I've experienced with what I'm experiencing in the moment.
Right.
It's so fascinating to see yourself that way.
But Mom, I did do, I will say this, after all of this, right, I stopped myself from being vicious. I'm making myself unconscious. I then talked to my mom. I then, then talked to my shrink. Then I got in the therapy session. And now I do feel like, okay, the next time I'm going to try again, because I put myself a little more, and the therapist was like, can you say, I feel like eventually we got to a place where I was like, it hurt my, but I was aggressive, but I was like, of course it hurt my feelings. But I wasn't like, it really hurt my, but I feel like we did, that maybe by putting myself in that position, I didn't die. Things got better. We worked it through. And Heidi was like, I'm just going to delete this number from my contacts. Because I don't want to go through this again.
That's because you did the hard work. You didn't just stop in your living room with Heidi.
Right.
You talked to me, you talked to your shrink, and you went to the couples therapist. You did the hard work.
And there was a good outcome. So there's a positive experience.
Because I was in a safe environment.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
With a safe person.
I agree.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And it minimizes the future triggers that are familiar that enable you to maybe get to that place a little quicker because trust is there. And there's vulnerability in that in a way.
Exactly. Totally. Oh, absolutely.
And I hate this stuff.
People want to control.
Because you're a mess too, Michelle. You're a controlling perfectionist.
Wait a minute. We are all in our own way somewhat a mess.
Look at Angie. She's like growling at me.
It's a process, and it's a process that takes the rest of our life. Nobody ever is going to, you know, reach perfection. We can't reach perfection. So it's about it's the road less traveled. And for me, my life meaning is about constantly looking to myself to grow and get better so that I can love others better.
But you're like amazing. You're like,
and then I know they'll love me more too, so I get that. But I get that.
God, it you know what? All right, Andy, I'm gonna be vulnerable with you.
Okay.
Okay.
I feel like ever since you got pregnant, like we lost you a little bit.
Oh.
You did lose me a little bit.
And I am worried that we're going to lose you completely.
Oh.
And I feel like I'm depressed about it. And I don't want to be unhappy for you, but I'm worried that like I will lose you. And you're like one of my very, very closest friends.
I'm so touched to hear that.
It's been horrible. I don't want to say
it. Are you being serious?
No,
of course I am being deadly serious. Yeah, like we used to go to... I was telling Heidi the other day, and it's part of what's also gone on in my own family, but I'm like, I miss kind of my life. Like, we used to go to New Year's, you know, we used to go to Paris for New Year's. Like, we used to go to India and, like, explore the world. And, like, you know, and Heidi never wants to do it because she never wants to leave the kids. And now, you know, Andy's going to be in that position because I would be like, all right, Andy, let's go, you know, and it's kind of like, and so I'm afraid that we're going to, like, completely lose you and completely lose the adventuresome you.
Respond, Andy.
Which you're the only one, by the way, that kind of is like that.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate knowing that. And actually, I know you feel that way. So that's
no, good. You don't.
Yes, I swear
no,
to God.
No, you don't.
I swear to
no,
God.
No, you don't.
See, now you're hurting Jillian.
How? No, Jillian, I know that? Because I know you and I know what we all have. But what I got to say is I feel it too. And so that's where I've got to be able to... be able to express that I still want that, that I definitely still want that, and I don't want to lose that. And what's not Tate's responsibility that I've laid on him, and this has been a conversation him and I have had to evolve, several times throughout my pregnancy, I have said to him, is my life over? And he'd be like, no, you find ways. And I'd be like, well, Tate, though, it's going to really, really, really change. And the biggest fear that I've had hasn't so much been parenting or hasn't been, but it's been the reasons why I didn't want to start a family so badly. Now that it's here, I'm grateful. But the work has to be the compromise to say, I need these things. And that's what's great about him and I as a couple is he realizes that's what I'm like. And there still has to be that. Even at the risk of sometimes saying, we're going to have a kidless adventure, and then sometimes we're going to have kid adventures because part of me that makes me happy is that I've had this full life. Yeah. I'm 43. Can you imagine the experiences that I don't want to lose that I've afforded myself all these years that you've been attached to? So the compromise is that I have to be able to forge new experiences that say, how do we balance it? When we go on holidays, we have to agree where we can go that we can have it all. So therefore, I don't want to go to Disneyland. We want to go somewhere really fun where we actually can have a nanny so that if we go out partying one night and have a lot of fun, then we can afford provisions kind of that still have. So if it's a lesson version of what we had, we don't have to give it up completely. Where Tate and I talk a lot about compromise is that he's of the opinion that, you know, to restore a relationship or maintain like, you know, solidarity, you have a date night. And his opinion is I still need to do that with my friends. And where I love him is that he acknowledges that I came in. What he likes about me is that I was so social and that I have this vibrant, great relationship that is very rare to have have with other chicks, and he mm-hmm. likes that about me, and he wants me to maintain it. So mm-hmm. therefore, if he wants to take a motorcycle ride for a weekend with his friends, I would hire a babysitter to help me part-time for the weekend. He would go do that because I expect to be able to do that. Not in the beginning of infancy, I'm going to throw a baby on my back and you know what I mean? But the thing is at the appropriate time, we need to restore that again because it's who I am. I don't want to be a stay-home full-time mom. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm career-oriented. I'll have help. My kids will know I'm there and I love them. But that also includes my social time and who I was coming into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have to, and I gotta protect it and not at the expense of being a mom, but it will be definitely at the expense of being a crabby person who's stuck at home with diapers.
It can't be all or nothing. That's all.
No.
Yeah.
Well, with Jillian, I stayed home the first year with Jillian and didn't do anything. And then the second year, I found a babysitter and I went back to school. So I was going to school part-time and being a mom. You know, I needed to have that intellectual stimulation also in my life.
Right.
So we all have to find the balance that works for us. All right, we can go on forever. Right. I've got a phone call to make.
All right,
okay,
Mom.
Love you all.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye, sweeties.
Bye. Ugh, what a can of worms. Forget it.
Thank you for saying that to me.
Oh, ew.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.